2016. This is interviews, music reviews, and more. This is The Hotter Show.
What is up, everybody? We are rolling out of here today on episode 394 of The Hotter Show. I hope you guys are doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you so very much for tuning in and clicking that play button on today's episode of the podcast. We have an awesome episode for you here today. As I try to have in every single episode of The Hotter Show, I sit down with Timothy John Bolton, who is the vocalist of badass Toronto-based post-hardcore hard rock band Conversation. And this is a really fantastic, wide-ranging conversation. We talk all about, of course, his start with music and influences and joining the band and the band forming. But also, we talk about his writing process. We talk about kind of being in the current state of this resurgence of post-hardcore and heavier music that we're seeing, and just how awesome it is, really, just to be honest. And then also just being a part of the music scene, and you hear us talk about some past alumni of The Hotter Show and some friends of the show. So really great conversation. Timothy was so candid at talking about his personal experiences and how that relates to his lyric writing and how he performs and the band. And it's a really fantastic story and great conversation. So I hope that you guys enjoy it. I know I enjoyed having the conversation with Timothy, and I look forward to doing it again sometime. Now, if you are hearing my voice, be sure to follow Conversation on all social media platforms, because they are getting ready to embark on a spring tour, basically all over North America, including a bunch of dates in the US, starting on April 11th in Barrie. So take a second, check out their Facebook page, social medias, and websites to see where they're playing, if they're playing somewhere near you. They're playing in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, and then obviously all over Canada as well, including heading to, you know, Alberta, Saskatchewan, all over the place. So it's going to be a great time. Keep an eye out if you would like to check out the band, because they are freaking fantastic live. And we talk about that as well in my chat here with Timothy. Before we jump in, I just want to thank everybody for their support on the last episode of The Hotter Show, another session with my buddy, Dr. Torment. I do apologize for the lack of episodes over the last basically month at this point. It has been a very busy and unpredictable month here at the Hotter Camp, launching Tape for Trepidation, my new horror podcast, which I was only planning on it kind of taking over my time for a couple of the weeks, but then I got a new position at work, new hours, which means I'm basically a night worker now, which is great, but it has been kind of eating into my free time. And then also I got very sick for like 2 weeks, so I wasn't able to record at all, and my interface died. So it has been an interesting last couple of weeks to get back to doing The Hotter Show, but I got a lot of great content coming up, including this episode with Timothy John Bolton from Conversation. Let's get into it. Hi, guys. We're here with Timothy John Bolton from Conversation, vocalist extraordinaire. Timothy, man, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me, mate.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I just before we get into anything at all, there's one question I have been dying to ask you since I saw you and the boys play in Peterborough with Seagrave a couple of months back, which was insane. You guys were incredible. It was my introduction to you.
Thank you.
And you guys were just awesome. And the Seagrave boys spoke very highly of you. So I was like, this is going to be great. As I watched you guys do your thing, specifically you, one question occurred and one question came to mind, and that was, what microphone cable are you using? Because good God, dude, I have never seen such graceful abuse to a microphone cable. I know you do tape the crap out of it, but yeah. I just have to ask.
That is wonderful. I love that. You know what? Truth be told, mate, I couldn't even tell you what the mic cable is. But I can tell you, I've been through many in my time. Yeah. I learned from the pros, how it all works. I've been swinging a microphone like a maniac for a long time. And I used to just tape it normally, like thinking that all you had to do was tape it to keep the cable connected. But then, I went and saw Taking Back Sunday play, and Adam is a notorious mic swinger. He's probably the best to ever do it. And I noticed that his, like, so the cable is like wrapped up into the microphone and then taped. And so the reason for that is that it gives it a little less, so it's not pulling, like there's like some support to the actual connection inside the microphone. So that kind of saves me from a lot of damaging my things. Even with that said, I have gone through countless cables, countless mics. I have dropped mics. I've snapped cables, like literally snapped the cable itself. During a music video shoot, I snapped a cable and almost killed a woman, which was exciting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because when you're swinging a microphone at full pelt and the mic just takes off, like it's basically like it's a weapon. But luckily, no one's been seriously hurt during the time.
knock on wood.
Knock on wood as we speak. Yes.
Yeah, that was my next question because I was watching and I'm just like, I was looking, I'm like, okay, like he's got it nice and wrapped up and then it's taped up really well. So I'm like, okay, that, but I'm like, geez, still, like that's
it's
just. Damaged.
Yeah, it's like people say that, you know, vocalists don't have to spend much money on gear, but I replace mics and cables more often than you'd think. And, you know, and the goal is to just, you know, I've been doing it a long time now. So the goal is just not to hit anybody with it. But if you were talking to Eric or Jason in the band, they both have stories of either very close shaves or straight up smacks.
Oh, gosh.
At different times.
I was going to ask this a little later on in the chat, but just since we're on the topic, watching you guys on stage, especially you and Eric, I assume you guys have been playing together for a while because you just have that, because even Eric's and Jason's stage presence are also wild in the best way, especially Eric. It's like I'm watching as a fan, just like he's gonna smack him in the face. But it wasn't even like, I think there was maybe one close call the whole show, and it was like you were like, and I was like, oh god. So I have to imagine you guys have been playing together for a long time.
Yeah, Eric and I we've known each other now for, let me quickly do the math here, almost 20 years. And we've been best friends for most of that. He is my true brother, and I love him to death. Even when I want to shake him, which is quite often. And we've been doing this between us for a very, very long time. So we've gotten to know each other, and we know how to dance on stage. Which is I kind of love that about us as a live band, because it is controlled chaos when we play live. Jason, when he joined the band, it was exactly the same thing. That kid was jumping off walls. He was a rag doll on fire. And you have to learn how to have your wits about you at all times. And at this point, we've gotten pretty good at it. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when, like, seeing you guys have that type of performance, especially when following a band like Seagrave, who are just the polar opposite of what you guys are. And it's just like, they're just beating the crowd into submission. And it's like, okay, now it's like, hey, now here's another band. You just kind of like, shit.
Seagrave,
that kind of performance was just, it's a whole different type of performance in the best way.
Yeah. I love Seagrave. That was the first time we played with those guys. We met them that night. It's always funny when you meet a band. Like I hadn't had a chance. We were on tour when we met them. So I hadn't even had a chance to check them out yet. And so I met them at the venue, and they were all just darlings and lovely people. And I was like, what kind of music do you guys make? They're like, hardcore. I was like, okay, cool. But I mean, that's a broad spectrum when you say hardcore. And then I saw them live and I was like, oh, okay. Like, you're melting my face. Like, this is the heaviest thing I've ever heard in my life. And then they get off stage and you're like, great show. And they're like, thanks, man. And I'm like,
what? Yeah, they're all just sweethearts.
I love it. Yeah, the juxtaposition between like, and then just like total darlings afterwards was absolutely wonderful. So I can't say enough lovely things about those guys. But Conversation has always tried to walk the line of like, high energy, aggression, but also, you know, melodic performance. And when it comes to our live show, I've always thought of it as, yeah, very much kind of like a dance. Like if you're watching it live, it should just be just everything happening all at once and somehow graceful and somehow insane and coordinated yet complete chaos at the same time, which I think we're starting to be able to, you know, really, really shape and really make sense, which is great.
That's, I think, the best way I would describe seeing that was just like I said, it's almost like oh, that's, okay, wait a minute. Oh, that's, like, but yeah. Then also you're like, the music is so, there's moments where it's very much that post-hardcore kind of metalcore emo, dare I say, era of like the 2000s era of music where, you know, there's melody, there's heaviness, there's groove, there's heavy guitars and bass, like you kind of have a little bit of everything, so it very much flows and you can enjoy the music and kind of dance to it, but then also you're just sitting staring at the stage because it's very much like a dance. For you personally, you mentioned a couple of bands in that statement they're talking about, like Taking Back Sunday and that. How did this whole musical journey start for you, man? What were some of the bands that you first heard that got you to want to play music?
Yeah, so I grew up in Australia, and the whole scene, emo, post-hardcore movement didn't hit Oz when I was there. I moved to Canada in my 20s to the west coast of Canada, and that's when I first discovered all this type of music that we're talking about. I was living in Victoria, British Columbia, and I was lucky enough to connect with a particular fella who was a self-defined emo kid. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Actually, it was more Australian. It was, I don't know what that means. And and he was like, all right, come in here, Grasshopper, and kind of put me under his wing and started showing me this music. And it was The Used, it was Taking Back Sunday, it was Finch. It was At the Drive-In. It was Glassjaw. It was Alexis on Fire. It was Moneen. Like I got started with some absolute bangers. AFI, like all these bands that were just, you know, starting to be bands that people cared about, but were still on their earlier albums, most of them. And I just remember hearing, I think it was probably Finch. That was a band that the first time I heard them, I was literally like, I don't know what this is. I can't define it, but I want to do this. And that was the absolute starting point. And it's just bubbled and built from there. And next thing you know, it was just like, it was, I was obsessed. It was everything every day, all at once. And I wanted to do it so badly. And next thing you know, I was, you know, trying to sing in a band and I was terrible. And, you know, years later, I'm a little bit less terrible, but it's a lot of fun.
just to say it out of the get, I think you're a brilliant vocalist. So I know you're being modest, but just to go back a little bit further, because I'm always curious about this. What was some of the music you were listening to, like in the very early days of life that you can remember hearing? And what was the music scene like in Australia when you were there before you moved?
So you mean like what music was it when I like was being when I was growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, if in my house, you can
remember like some of that first stuff.
Yeah, man. So in my household, it was like my parents had a great vinyl collection, but it was mainly like, we're talking Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, The Doors, The Beatles, lots of Beatles. And then early Michael Jackson, which I was absolutely obsessed with, like Off the Wall and Thriller were just huge albums for me. And I used to put those vinyls on and make my parents watch while I did a performance to the album.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is when my mom says that she was like, I think he's got a future in this. You know, she was like, he's kind of what, that's all he wants to do is perform. And then in high school, it quickly turned into grunge. So then it was, you know, more like Nirvana, Pearl Jam kind of stuff. And then it moved quickly into like Tool and Incubus. But the big one for me when it came to songwriting and when I really started to fall in love with what it meant to be a musician was actually an artist called Jeff Buckley. And Jeff Buckley, I don't know if you know him, but he is much more of like a romantic. Mm-hmm. And the music is truly based in the idea of love and being in love and expressing yourself very honestly and earnestly. And I remember the first time I heard it was like, oh, okay. So like, I think for me, it was an awakening to the level of like, you don't have to be tough to make music, you know? And I think that was a huge turning point for me when it came to understanding music in a different way. And I think I still take that into my music today.
There's very much an honesty to what you guys do, and specifically the lyrics. Like, there's that level of honesty, and you can start to see as you're talking, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, I can see where all this is coming from. And it's like, okay, the performance side of things and then lyrical, like it really starts to come together to form this package of what you are as a vocalist and a frontman, and then the band itself, of course.
Yeah, thank you. That's actually a really wonderful compliment to me, because from day one, when conversation started, we said the one thing that this has to be is honest. We're not trying to be something else. We can't come into this being like, let's be this. It's like, let's just be honest. Let's just be exactly what we are, and even like be honest with ourselves and not be scared of that. Like, and so that we still take that into everything we do now, you know. It's not, let's try to be this because it's cool. Let's try to be this because it's what's the trend right now. It's always, let's just be honest with ourselves and hope that people can see that in what we do.
Especially when you guys first started, or at least when this core bit of the band, it was around 2015, I believe, when you guys formed this kind of era of the band and really started to hone in on what you were doing. At that time period, just for the sake of ease, let's call it like kind of that emo post-hardcore genre, was kind of in a weird spot. But then now, fast forward to 2024, and it's the resurgence that is happening right now is it's very real.
Yes.
You know, it's got to be cool to see for you guys.
It is. It's very cool. It's funny you should say that, because it's one of those things where so many people, you know, we'd have meetings with management or we'd have meetings with labels and stuff like that. And they're like, this isn't what's happening right now. You guys should try this. You guys should try this. And I remember always having that belief of like, it's coming around, guys. You know, you just have to be honest to yourself. The music industry will come to you in the right time. You just have to stay true to yourselves and stay honest with yourselves. And, you know, so it is vindicating to see, you know, the emo resurgence and, you know, even the post-hardcore resurgence, you know, like seeing bands like Angel Dust playing at Coachella. I'm like, that's a fucking hardcore band.
Yeah.
I was like
Coachella?
I was like, yes. Wow. That's awesome. So, you know, it is nuts, but it's been, there's definitely been some days when you're like, geez, like, It's a bit hard out here right now, but that's music in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not looking to do it the hard way, then you're in the wrong industry.
Exactly. And there's something to be said for, I say this so many times on the podcast, like if you're not creating art that is true to you as a person and that you love and that you enjoy doing, what's the point?
What's the point?
Like, it's just, oh yeah, we're going to write this song that's going to do really well at radio. Okay, cool. Then you got to play that song for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, I hate this song, but we got to play it. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's like, dude, great. Why would you do that?
Yeah. There's an authenticity to you, and you can feel it from artists when they love what they do. And, you know, exactly what we're saying. If you keep at it and you love it, you know, the world will catch on, or the world won't catch on. But in the end, you still loved what you did. And that's kind of the belief you've got to go into it with. That has to be your ethos. And, you know, we gravitate towards other bands that are the same, you know, when we were talking about the bands that we were talking about earlier, and even in, you know, bands that we become friends with. And when people come to our shows, after a show, if there is any comment, it's like, you guys look like you love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that alone is such a massive compliment for me and for the guys, because, you know, being on stage and doing this in front of people is the, you know, that 30 to 40 minutes is the time when you really feel alive.
And there's something to be said for a band like yourself who, you know, you've been doing this now for a little while. So yeah. You have really, truly honed in on who you are as musicians. Your sound, I feel like, especially with Faithless, like you've really just, it's like some bands, you'll see them start in a really different way. And then as they evolve as a band, it's like they can maybe change their style seven or eight times. Whereas yeah. You guys started off sounding maybe like a Cheekbiter was maybe a little more of like a, that post-hardcore, hardcore side. Sure. It was maybe a little more of the screaming, but then now fast forward to Honesty, the record, and then of course Faithless, the most recent single, you guys are really kind of honing in on that sound of just having that wonderful mix of melody and heaviness and groove. And so it's cool to see a band like yourselves who are now, you know, getting ready to go on this tour, and you've got all this cool stuff in the works, and it's like you're very ready for it because you've been kind of slugging it out the last 10 years in the Toronto scene, in the Ontario scene, and all over Canada.
Yeah, it's so, especially when it comes to writing, some people, it's funny you should say this, because I know so many musicians in my life, and then they'll be like, oh, well, you know, we tried for 18 months and it didn't really work, so we quit. And I'm like, well, what went wrong? And they're like, well, it was like we were struggling to write songs. I'm like, it's like when you're trying to put four or five people together to write music, it is a struggle, because everyone has their own ideas, and trying to find that compromise and that harmony amongst that many musicians it's not easy. It very rarely is easy, and it does take work and it does take time. And as you're saying, with conversation, you can hear it as you progress through our catalog that we're now getting to a point where we've worked together for long enough that the music feels a little more nuanced to be a conversation song, which I love. I think that's absolutely wonderful. You know, I'm proud of everything we've ever done, but you know, the stuff that we've been releasing lately has been amazing. And the stuff we're about to release is, I just can't tell you how excited all four of us are for the new music that we're working on now.
That's awesome to hear, man. Cause like you mentioned, like, you know, a band who's like say 18 months and they're like, oh, we're going to call it a day cause we haven't made it yet. Like the amount of, we were talking a little bit about this before we started, like the amount of similarities between, I hate using this word, but like the content creation game, like, you know, what I do compared to what you guys do in the music world. There are so many similarities when you are at this point in your career, like even myself, it hasn't been quite 10 years, but I've been about 8.5 now.
Yeah.
That you're just, so long as you're doing what you love and you're honest with yourself and, you know, that is a different type of success to me. And that's what I always say to people. If you love what you do, you're honest and you have fun, that's awesome. But then also, I have been had many people over the years like, hey man, I'm going to start a podcast. Can you help me out? Like, yeah, sure, of course. And then 3 months later, it's like, oh, hey man, I'm not on the top 100 chart on Apple, so I'm going to call it a day. And I'm like, dude, like what?
Yeah. Yeah. Manage your expectations.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, it's kind of like, you have to kind of laugh about it. Cause it's like, as much as I always hate to see anyone stop doing their art because of that reason.
I mean, maybe they were in it for the wrong reasons, right? Like that's the difference. I mean, exactly. I'm lucky enough that I'm in a band with three other guys who are in it for the love of it and for the creation of it. And, you know, for the idea that this is what sustains them. And that's why, you know, we wake up every day. That's why we wake up and do this every day.
And you can feel that. And even just listening to you talk about it, you can feel that love of what you do. So I have to ask, when you know, you mentioned earlier about how when you were kind of getting into singing and things of that nature, were you like taking any lessons or were you just kind of figuring things out every night on stage and in the recording process?
I took singing lessons when I was a teenager. Which was massively helpful, to be honest with you. Music theory, like singing theory, is very important when it comes to all the, you know, anchoring and understanding how your body works and breathing and diaphragm and all that stuff. So helpful. Without it, I would not be where I am. Which really helped me to be a singer. But then when I joined, started making music like Conversation, where I'm singing and screaming and I have to be soft and I have to belt and I have to scream. And it's so, it can be quite sporadic. I had to reteach myself everything. And for the first couple of years, to be honest with you, I hurt myself a lot. There were many, many days when I lost my voice completely while I had to find my positions and figure out like the anchoring and learn the mic technique and all that kind of stuff. So it was trial and error for a long time. But luckily at this point, I'm pretty much, you know, got it in the pocket. Touch wood.
That's awesome. Because even
as I'm about to go on a month long tour, let's hope I've got it in the pocket at this point.
I was just about to say that, man. I was like, let's hope because you're going to be in a band for.
Yeah, it would not be ideal if I didn't know. So I'm pretty, but I am, you know, it's about preparation and all that kind of stuff. So no, but luckily I did take some singing lessons in my earlier years in my life because, you know, I wanted to be, Brenna Boyd and Eddie Vedder and all these kind of guys because they were the cool dudes and I wanted to be a cool dude.
Well, I mean, I think you're doing that. So
Thank you. I
can see it's funny, like being of the, you know, I remember when like, you know, Incubus blew up and everything. So like, it's funny you mentioned Brandon Boyd, like I can totally see just a little bit of Boyd in you, just a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you know, I'm not upset about that. I'm really not. Yeah, no, there's definitely a certain homage to Brandon no matter what because, yeah, it was a huge part of my growing up listening to them and his vocals. And again, like there was the music was aggressive for the time, but also at the same time, there was a lot of honesty and vulnerability to Brandon. So he was, you know, a great way to shape yourself is to be a better man, better human. You know, to not be afraid of your sensitive side, to not be afraid of your emotions and to express yourself and be, it's a scary thing to be that honest with strangers. And he was never afraid to do that. So that was a huge influence for me.
That's awesome. I love to hear that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why probably why I gravitated so hard towards the emo scene because it was exactly that. It was like, I'm screaming at you, but I'm sad.
I'm screaming at you.
But I'm very sad. You know, and try to make that poetic and bada boom, you got yourself an emo song. Got yourself a conversation song.
So what's conversation as a band? Well, I get really angry and write stuff and then I yell at you. It's like, cool.
Yeah, I'm screaming, but I'm sad. Yeah, it's fun. I love that, man.
Yeah,
the truth, if we can touch on that, the truth is that there's an incredible catharsis to being able to do that, you know. My music, writing my music is my therapy in a lot of ways. You know, I go through experiences in my life and then if I'm able to put them into a song and sing them and scream them out loud, like over and over again, it's a way to put, like, to work through them. And I feel very grateful that I'm allowed to do that because I know a lot of people don't have an outlet like I have. And I'm lucky that I've stumbled into this because it's allowed me to work through a lot of, you know, those harder times in my life because, you know, a lot of my music is very personal and to specific hardships that I've had in my life or even, you know, frustrations I have with the world. And to be able to get on stage and scream it out loud as hard as you can from every inch of your body, it's just such a catharsis and such a release. So I feel very grateful for that.
Being able to expel that is so important, excuse me, in Absolutely. Any way, like any kind of, I always say to everyone, like people need a creative outlet.
Yeah.
Whether it's playing music or writing music or doing content creation or whatever kind of art it is, painting whatever. Or whatever you can use to express yourself. Like,
yeah,
you got to be able to expel that because that, I call it that dark energy that just starts to get, you know, you start to kind of go like this and you're like, oh geez, like I need to, like, if I don't get behind this microphone at least once a week, I'm like, start to feel this weird energy.
you and me both, dude. Honestly, I, a few years back, I remember I was on a date with a girl and she mentioned that she's like, you seem very like very kind of calm and composed and relaxed. And I said, well, that's because I get to scream into a microphone for 3 hours twice a week. And she was like, sorry. And I was like, okay, let me explain. Huh? But it does. That's it. You know, it's an outlet, and you know, it's, yeah, it's a creative outlet. It's a physical outlet, and it does help just to kind of allow you to have somewhere to put your emotions, put your feelings, and it helps. It helps me dramatically. So, can't say enough about it.
Let's talk a little bit about the journey to starting the conversation.
Haha. Right.
Just kidding. Sorry, I had to make at least one bad conversation joke.
That was good.
Did you play in any bands while you were in high school, or how did that whole journey to actually forming the band come to be?
I played in I played in terrible punk rock bands in high school, like everybody else did, you know. You're just doing your best in your friend's basement or whatever. But you know, none of it really took off. I played in a cover band in Australia, where I played everything from, you know, Counting Crows to Creed to Nickelback. And we played some really fun like pubs and stuff in Australia. I actually got punched out on stage by an angry patron who didn't like the song I was singing. So I've got some really cool stories from those days.
I have to stop you there and ask, what was the song you were singing? You remember? Because that's very specific.
Man, I haven't put this on the podcast, but you know what? It should be said. I was singing With Arms Wide Open by Creed.
Of course it was Creed. That was my guess. I was going to be like, okay, it's probably a Creed song. And then, okay, what's the one?
So he was it was a real small town in like country Australia. So you can imagine that is, you know, the crowd's a bit rough and tumble.
Yeah.
And this fella walked up to the front of the stage and kind of gave me like the, you know, the stink eye, and I'm singing the song and I'm looking at him and he's starting to get a little more aggressive and I'm looking for security. And next thing you know, he's taken two steps and he's jumped up on stage and I'm like, uh-oh.
With all those bad.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
And it was 1-2 and I was in the drum kit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a good day for me. It was my last show on that cover band. I decided to stop playing with that cover band after that.
Yeah, no more Creed. No more Creed in the cover band, as we're going to call it.
Yeah, the day Creed got me knocked out.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you, but that's an awesome story now.
It's funny now. Yeah, it's great now. Totally. When I moved to Canada and I was living in Victoria in BC, and that's where I met the wonderful Eric, who I play with now, that handsome devil. And so he was in the same boat I was in. He was just in love with the scene, in love with the music. And he was a little more pop punk than me, but you know, his favorite bands were like Newfound Glory and Blink-182. But he also really loved a band called Thursday and a band called At the Drive-In. And I was like, let's go. And so he and I, you know, quickly became dear friends and started to kind of figure out how to be in a band together. And so, you know, we learned the hard way as we went along and went on some terrible tours and slept in our van in Staples parking lots and, you know, played to no one and then played to everyone and met some great people and met some terrible people. And you know, I refer to that time as the greatest and worst times of my life, you know, because some of it was absolutely, you know, experiences you could never feel that you were lucky enough to have. And then other times you were like, why do I do this? I want to die. But that's part of the gig, you know, that's part of the journey. And I moved to Toronto years later because I decided, look, Toronto's the place to be if you want to make music. And Eric was still living in BC. And then I said, hey, dummy, I'm starting it all up again. I've already got Jason on board. You got to get out here. And he was like, no.
And then he hung up.
I think he laughed at me and hung up. And then I called him back and I said, I'm not kidding. Like, come on, mate. Like, you're just hanging out in Victoria. What else are you doing? Come on. And he's like, well, first off, like, you know, I'm living with my girlfriend. I can't afford to move to Toronto. I don't even have like a vehicle that I could get out there with. And I said, okay, great. And I said, I'll send you money, buy a van, drive it across the country and join the band. I hear how insane this sounds when I'm saying it out loud. And Eric pauses on the phone and goes, all right, let me think about it. And I was like, and he called me back a couple of days later and he said, all right, I found a van. Send me, I think it was $2,500 or something like that for this big old white van. And he packed up his girlfriend and packed up his dog and packed up his life and moved across the country. And we started the whole thing up again. Him, me, and Jason, you know, and some other fellas at the time. And that was the beginning of the new era for us. And, you know, we haven't looked back ever since.
It's wild just to hear that story just from you coming from, first off, coming from a whole other country.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have to ask, whereabouts in Australia are you from?
Melbourne. Okay, Melbourne, cool. Australia. Yeah. The best part of Australia.
Yes. I just have some pals actually from that, some podcast pals over the years that are from Tasmania, which is like way down there. Yeah, and Melbourne, I think. Yeah. Melbourne. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. So
Melbourne's the place. Yeah. I still love Melbourne to this day. My big dream is to take conversation to Melbourne and play a show.
That'd be awesome.
Where my fam jam can come and check us out.
I assume, have you been back a few times? Like, I assume you still have family there and stuff, eh? Or?
Yeah, the whole family's there. I try to get back I try to aim for every 3 years. It's been a little hard with the pandemic, but I was home about a year and a half ago for a couple months to see the family, which was absolutely wonderful.
Nice, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
As far as the kind of like the writing process of the band, how does that generally work? Do you guys all kind of have a say in it? Like, how does that work for you guys?
It's a very collaborative effort, no doubt about that. Yeah. We've always kind of said that even since the beginning of the band was, this has to be for all of us. And if we're going to keep with the idea of it always being honest, you know, we don't want anyone to not feel that they're heard. So, you know, it's usually someone brings an idea to the table, either it's a riff or, you know, maybe they've demoed something by themselves. And then it's a gradual build from there. Of late, with the recent songs we've been writing, Jason and Andrew, our drummer and our guitarist, have been getting together and demoing the two of them and coming up with riffs and ideas and then bringing those and be like, okay, we've got something that we feel is the beginnings of the song. And then they'll bring that to the table and we'll work through it in the room together, either writing together or playing together. Eric has a very, like, one of Eric's greatest talents is that he just has the ability to hear things and be like, okay, that this is almost there, but maybe we adjust this to here. And suddenly the whole thing kind of clicks. It starts to, and then you're like, okay, now we're rolling, let's go. And once the song really starts to form and then the skeleton is there, I'll take it and write lyrics and vocals. And from there, we'll start the whole process again. Because at that point, it's like, all right, now it's kind of a song. Let's now make it a song. And then, you know, by the time we hit the studio, we have something that we think is starting to really be, you know, juicy. And then we'll bring Kyle in, our producer. And Kyle will grab it and go, this is good. This needs to be fixed. This is good. These lyrics are dumb, you know, and he'll sorry, he's never actually said that.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is terrible.
You're the worst. No, he's never said that. Kyle's an absolute dream.
It's abusive, jeez.
He hit me a couple of times. No.
Every bad take, he just...
He's there with a stick. He's hit me with a stick. No,
he's there with a mic cable. Just, yeah. That's really where it comes from. Come on, let's be honest.
With a cable.
He's like, yeah, I'm using your trick. Look, I'm taping it up.
Do better. Like, no, Kyle's a darling. But yeah, so it's a very organic process because it's just from beginning to end, we're all attached to it. And, you know, there are good times and bad times when it comes to that because sometimes, you know, you butt heads and you battle each other on ideas. And the idea is to always remember that you're all aiming for the same goal, which is to make something fantastic. And, you know, by the end of it, by the time we're finished with it, we always kind of sit back and listen to it and go, wow, I can't believe we did this.
That's wicked. As far as for you as a singer and a lyricist, are you someone who, over the years I've talked to vocalists and I find everyone kind of sort of has a different style of writing lyrics. Mm. Do you have like a little booklet or a little, a notepad on your phone or whatever that you'll just randomly jot down thoughts throughout the day that you have that could become lyrics? Or are you someone who you have to have the music to kind of paint that picture first before you can attack it lyrically?
It's a little bit of both. Until I have to switch onto that part of my mind, I usually don't use it all that much. So it's not as though I'm like wandering along in the daytime and then suddenly I'm like, oh, this is a clever line. I write it down. That happens rarely. I love it when it does because that's cool. Because you're like, oh, that's actually a pretty sick line and I could be able to use that. Maybe I'm just ranting about something and something comes out of my mouth and I'm like, oh, that's pretty poignant. I should remember that. And then I'll scribble that down, usually on my phone. And it will just be something like song idea 24. And then I'll read back on it 2 days later and be like, what was I even talking about?
What is song 24? What's happening here?
What is this? Trees in the wind? What am I talking about?
In the moment, it made perfect sense.
Yeah. But once we start to actually like have music written, that's when like I'll create, like open up that part of myself where I'm like, all right, time to get creative again, trying to really feel feelings and start to allow myself to be more creative and more poetic. So for the last songs we wrote, let me just preface this by saying sometimes writing music for me lyrically can be really painful. Sometimes I'm dredging up a lot of emotion, maybe that I've even already processed, that I'm like, okay, you know what? This is the story that this song needs. And sometimes those are things that I don't necessarily want to dive back into, but at the same time, I feel that it's necessary to make the song the greatest song it can be. So I will do it. So sometimes there's a lot of I'm tentative to do it because I'm like, this is going to suck. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So a lot of the time I kind of like, I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time I'm not, because mm-hmm. I'm like, ugh, this is going to be great when it's finished, but the process is going to be hard. So a lot of our latest songs that we've been writing have very much landed in that category of like, I know I need to write about this because it's going to help me process. It's going to be great for the music. There's going to be so much emotion and catharsis in the songs. But at the same time, this is going to be hard. By the time the guys had really like demoed out the tracks, they're like, all right, Tim, like, let's get this done. It's like, all right, here we go. And, you know, I would basically sit down with the demos and just listen to them like over and over and over and over, just to try to get myself in the right mindset and the right emotional state. And then it's just about finding the cadence and the melody. And then I allow myself to write freely without real any thought. And I do that for a while until something starts to feel thematic. And then after that, I just kind of fine tune. I'll bring it down and be like, okay, what am I really trying to say here? Maybe this line works. Maybe I can build on that one. And then try to find the poetry in it. And then also, you know, make it badass.
I like that.
You still want those, like those moments, you know, you want those, oh yeah, moments. So
those hell yeah, so, brother, yeah, moments, you know?
Yeah. So like the thing, like, I can't tell you how excited we are for the new songs we've just been writing, because like, they have all of this. They have these moments like lyrically where you're like, oh shit, that guy's going through it. But at the same time, it's also like, that also fucking hits hard. And like, I want to bang my head to it, which is great. You know, like, we want people to be moving their feet, but we also want them to be like, you know, tugging on their heartstrings at the same time.
I think it's important to kind of be able to talk about that. Like, you've spoken this whole conversation about being open and honest, and that's something that you guys are obviously very important to you. And not to get too personal, but I'm just curious from a creative standpoint, do you ever find that the times when you do maybe reach back in your personal life to kind of pull something, to kind of get in the right headspace for the song, do you find that it can maybe take a little bit of time to kind of get out of that once you're in it? Or with the kind of the cathartic process of writing the lyrics, kind of screaming out that feeling, so to speak, do you find that's enough? I'm just curious.
That's a great question. If I'm going to talk about the latest experience, like we wrote, so we wrote and recorded four new songs a month or so ago, and it took me a while to come out the other end of it, to be honest with you. They were all very personal to me, and some of them I really didn't want to write, but I knew they had to be written. And some of them I put off as long as I could, to the point where it was like Jason was like calling me on the phone being like, we got to get this done, man. Come on, let's go. And I was like, I know, damn it. But it got done. And then, yeah, probably for like the next week or so, I would probably say I was like stuck in it a little bit. And you feel like you're kind of, yeah, like you've reverted back a little bit. You're still living in it again. But that's part of the process, I guess, in general, you know, like if I want to make something that I feel really proud of and that I feel is really honest and really authentic, then you've got to dig as deep as you need to. And if it takes a little time to come out the other end of that, I think that's probably a good sign that you've done the work.
Really created something that's just brutally honest, maybe even some might say maybe to a fault if it affects you in that way. But it's like you can't half-ass honesty. You can't exactly. Be like, hey, I'm kind of giving you a little bit, but not really. Like, you can't half-ass that.
Yeah, I struggle with that lyrically with a lot of stuff. Sometimes I write songs and I'll be like, this is well written, or like, I like this line, but like, it's fluffed. There's not much to it. You know what I mean? And I run into that even lately. And then there's on the opposite side of that is that sometimes my lyrics, I write them and then I think, okay, that fits and that's perfect for this part of the song, but this is very honest. And I have to come to terms with that and be okay with the fact that this is going to be something people are going to listen to. And I have to kind of just accept that part of my life is now out there. So that's the other side of that as well. You know, like I love being honest in my music, but at the same time, you have to be okay with people knowing certain things about you. If they ever listen and if they ever give a shit, you know?
I think it was Howard Jones, actually, from Killswitch and Light the Torch, Devil,
yeah, yeah.
A bunch of other stuff. I think it was something he spoke about, the Rose of Sharon, I believe. I could be mistaking that, where it's a very, very personal song about his grandmother. And he says, you know, very similar to what you're saying, where it's like, was I ready to put that out there? And he said, maybe, but he said, what I wasn't ready for was people coming up to me after shows and saying like, oh, you have no idea how much this song means to me. Let me tell you the entire lyrics to your song, Howard. Like, it's just like, it's like, it's that's the part of it I wasn't ready for. Like,
yeah.
People quoting my words to me. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, even when I was listening to your pod with Ev from Judgment, and, you know, he and I are very similar in the fact that our lyrics are always personal to ourselves. And he's written about some heavy stuff for himself. And, you know, with social media, even like people will just, they'll just slang random comments at you. And you got to be like, okay with that, you know, because we've put this out into the world. And unfortunately, you will get the slings and arrows back. That's just how it works.
Some people will just not like, what did he say? He was like, some people just aren't going to like your face, your back, like anything about you. This guy's back is whack, bro. Like, I think it was something along those lines. But yeah, like, just you can put out like this beautiful music that is so honest and wonderful and heartfelt. And then just one idiot who's just scrolling through one day and goes, look at these guys.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, hey, yada. Watch this.
Yeah.
You know, I think your microphone looks lame, bro. Like, nice hair. What are you, swatched by Maybelline? Like,
I think my favorite was that I ever saw in a comment about me was, look at this guy's hair. He thinks he's tough. And I thought, what about this hair?
It's tough.
Makes me look tough.
Look at this guy's hair. He looks tough. I mean, I was going to say, I think you've got nice, beautiful hair, but it's very cool and it's good look.
Yeah, but it's not tough.
I don't think you're like, yeah, so anyway, you know.
Yeah, I'm ready to fight him. Yeah, so I thought that was very, very funny. You know, yeah, the internet is a weird place and I, you know, I don't give it too much time and too much effort into my life, but, you know, we all got to live in it, right?
Yeah, you can't. I think it was a meme I saw recently. That was the most true meme I've ever seen in my life. as someone who used to work in like, I used to work at a guitar store and stuff back in the day. And like, this meme was just, you can walk up or comment on any video of someone playing guitar and just say, okay, John Mayer, and walk away and they will crumble. Like, it doesn't matter what they're playing, doesn't matter where it is. You can just walk up and be like, okay, John Mayer, and it will just, they will just crumble. It was like, that's brutal. Very true. Like, it's brutal. It's either they're going to be mad. It's like, yo, John Mayer's a legend, bro. Or they're going to be like, I don't play John Mayer. I play Slayer, bro. Like, so just, yeah, people are, the troll world is wild to see. And you guys putting yourselves out there like that, it's just like, it makes me mad as a fan, because I'm like, how can you say things like this? But then it's like, you look at their profile and it's like, oh, this person's just
a hater. Well, I got lucky when I grew up. My parents said this to me since I was a very young child. They said, don't let the bastards get you down. And I've stuck with that as my kind of ethos for my whole life, you know, like that's just how the world works. So you got to just let that stuff roll right by you. And I've been lucky enough to surround myself with amazing people in my life, be it the guys in my band, be it my wonderful girlfriend, be it my family, and be it the other musicians that I know who are all doing the same kind of thing, you know? They're all people who believe in music, believe in chasing their dreams, believe in love, and believe in putting, you know, good energy out into the world. And so, you know, that's the stuff you got to focus on.
Absolutely. There's a certain poetic justice to just living your life, doing what you love, and not letting anything else bug you. Because it's just like, at the end of the day, nothing else really doesn't matter. Does someone on TikTok, like I scroll through just to shout out the boys in Judgment again, like I scroll through their TikTok campaign they're doing right now, and just some of the comments I see, I'm just like, how can you even think of that? Like, just so you can't give it any, like, yo, I bet you this is the kind of guy that, also one guy, he was like, I bet you the singer goes to like, goes to salon and demands like his beard be trimmed up daily or something. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, what? Like, oh, I bet you this guy goes to Walmart and buys, like, I don't even remember what it was now. I'm losing my train of thought. But my point is, folks, is that just, you can't let that stuff bug you. Just let let the bastards get you down. That's
it. And you know, we wrote a song back in the day. It's a very popular song for us. It's called "I Can Play the Outlaw," and that's literally what that song is about. And the chorus says, "Listen in, like you're nobody till somebody hates you." And that was a message to myself, which was, you know, as you go along, people are going to continue to, they're going to give you a hard time or just to drag you down or try to tell you that you suck or anything like that. And that song, the chorus is, you're nobody till somebody hates you. So give me hatred, because when people start to hate on you like that, it means you're going in the right direction. Right. So, you know, if I can say anything to, you know, either myself or even to the boys in Judgment who are seeing some success right now, you're doing it right. If people start to, you know, if they're going to comment on your beard, you're definitely doing something right. So,
yeah, it's, you know, like, all this, the love truck to, slaps. Like,
all the love to Ev and all the love to Cam and Lee and all the boys. They're absolute champions. We love those guys.
Yeah, I love those guys. I'm just happy to see, I've known Lee for a really long time too, so I was so happy to see him join. But that's the beauty of this space of the internet, is we can connect and, you know, become friends and build wonderful relationships and share wonderful art and everything with the world. But then also that other side of it that can be just so much fun. But yeah, you can't gain success if you don't have at least a couple of haters or a couple of trolls that are just,
that's the truth, man.
Your name means nothing.
Absolutely. I think I remember one day we got a message on YouTube, which was scathing. It was about one of our videos, and Eric post screenshot and posted it in our band thread, and we're all like,
"You did it!" Speaking on YouTube, you guys have some awesome videos. But one thing I found that I thought was so, I kind of found it randomly while I was searching through YouTube for you guys. You guys did a Jack Daniels commercial.
Yes,
and that was did. I was like, this is, because I tuned into it and I heard Rumble by Link Ray start, and I was like, this is, what is this? And then all of a sudden it flashes, and I think I saw like half of Eric's like face, and I was like, is that, because I was like, why is this showing up in like related videos to conversation? So I don't know what's work. And then I saw you and I was like, oh shit, this is like, these are the guys. Like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
How was that whole experience? Because that's kind of cool.
It was incredible. So Eric's fiance, Zoe, found a casting call online, and it was super vague. It was like, looking for Toronto punk-esque band to be in whiskey commercial. And then said, you know, gave you category, it must be between these ages, look like this, have this attitude, apply here. And like, she sent it to me and I said, okay, well, I mean, this is one of those things you just kind of fill out and you forget about it. So I did that, and they're like, send photos of your band and a write-up and all that stuff. So I filled out all the stuff they need to fill out, and then you send it off. I got a message back the next morning, and they were like, hi, you're in the top five for this commercial. Here's a bunch more questions. I'm so skeptical. I'm like, this could be a scam, whatever. Anyway, I answered the questions just in case. And then I get a message back later that same day, and they were like, okay, so you have been chosen to shoot this commercial. At this point, we feel that we can tell you it is for Jack Daniel's. The commercial will be worldwide, and it'll be shot at Lee's Palace in Toronto. You know, and here are all the details. And it was happening 48 hours later. And they're like, you have to be available from here to here. Also, you need to try to bring out a crowd of 100 people. They'll be paid, you know, a certain amount if they show up on the day. It happened, honestly, from beginning to end, it was like 4 days in total between applying and shooting the commercial was how quick it happened. It was absolutely wild. And the like, until we were on set, I was still going to the guys being like, this might be fake. I do not know if this is going to be real. Let's see what happens.
You're going to show up. There's just some dude sitting there like, welcome to the commercial. We're
gonna, yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Give me your money. What the hell? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, but it was crazy legit. Yeah. So Jack Daniel's shot this commercial all through Toronto. We got selected, I think more or less just because we looked like a rock band. And it was crazy to be on a set of that size. We brought out a huge crowd. We brought out every friend that we could. They all got paid to be there, which is super rad. And it was the first time we'd ever played on Lee's Palace stage, which was super, super fun. And it was fun to be like, you know, rock stars for a day. And it made it all the way to Australia and played in Australian cinemas. So my parents were going to see a movie, and suddenly I was on the big screen in front of them, and they had no idea, which was really, really cool for me. Dude,
that's awesome. Yeah, I assumed it was a worldwide commercial just because of the way it was presented. I was like, this had to have been.
Yeah, yeah, it was a massive campaign. Yeah,
yeah,
and I got lucky enough to have friends of mine in Australia and stuff being like, I think I just saw you. I went to see, you know, the new Avengers movie, and I think I saw you on the big screen. I was like, yep, that's me.
That's awesome. It had to be very that tough guy up. Hair, man. That definitely, yeah, that definitely, definitely was a big part of it. They're like, look at this guy's hair. We must think he's tough. Let's get this guy.
The guy is tough. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. What was the reaction to hear? Like, did you guys know the music that was going to be over top of it?
They told us nothing.
It was just so random. Like, I was like, really? Rumble by Link Ray is the punk rock band?
They kept everything very close to the vest. We knew nothing of the shoot. We played the same song over and over again. We rocked out so hard. We must have done the song like 15 times. Eric, I think he looked like he was going to throw up at one point. He was so tired. And then the crowd was just losing it, freaking out the whole time as well. So we didn't know if they were going to use our music. We didn't know anything like that. They just were like, we'll talk about it later. And then they just never talked to us about it. And so at the end of the day, they kind of just gave us a high five and said, you know, we'll send you a check in the mail. And that was the end of it.
Either way, still very cool. And I mean,
it paid for our van. So we were really happy to do it. You know what I mean?
Paid for by, you just have a thing on the side. This van was paid for by Jack Daniels.
By Jack Daniels, yes. It's the reason we can go on tour now. So it's a nice little bump.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of tour, we are having this conversation, you guys are getting ready to embark on a pretty sizable spring tour all across North America, starting on April 11th. You're going to be hitting spots all over Canada, all over the US. How excited are you and the boys to be getting on the road? Is this the longest tour that you guys are going to be going on at this point? Or have you been on longer? I think it's about a month you guys are going to be gone for.
This is going to be the longest that this iteration has gone on. Yeah, Eric and I used to tour like silly buggers for like 2 months at a time, but that was silly. Now we're doing a little smarter and, you know, we're a little more prepared. So, you know, back in the day we would tour like, you know, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to go on the road, and you get a high five and a pat on the bum, and then you'd be on the road.
Off you go.
Yeah, off you go. Now
two changes of underwear, like, you know, let's go.
Two?
What is that? That's the most honest answer. No.
Yeah, so nowadays, but now we're like, we're doing this. Now we know what we're doing. But no, we're all so excited. It's been a massive amount of work. We're still obviously working on it every day, but we're so excited to do it. You know, it got to the point where we sat down as a band and said, look, if we're gonna do this, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's there's no more dilly-dally. Let's put everything we possibly can into this. Let's take some big risks. Let's take some big shots. Luckily for us, we connected with this amazing booking agent in the US called Don't Blink. And they have taken us on board. So they are booking our US dates for us and helping to get us the necessary means for all of our visas and stuff like that into the States. And then myself and our drummer, Andrew, are booking all the Canadian dates. And, you know, months and months of work. At this point, we're now 1 month out. We'll be on the road officially. Is it 1 month? Officially 1 month as of yesterday.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited.
It's awesome, man. It's got to be, like you said, and this is the time to strike right now. I feel like there is this, the last couple of years, like there's been some cool things that have happened, but people are still kind of, not sure. Like, you still see some people who are kind of like, I want to go to this show, but
sure.
Whereas now it's like, I feel like this spring and this summer especially, it's going to be just like all bets are off. Everything is back in full swing. There's no more people being afraid necessarily. It's kind of like everyone's on the same page now. Like, let's just get back to just life fully 100%.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been a really interesting experience to book a tour like this, especially across Canada, because we're from the West Coast originally, Eric and I, and we toured quite a lot in the 2000s and, you know, made some friends and all that kind of good stuff. And so booking these shows back out that way, like, hey, like, we're this band from Toronto Conversation. And so many bookers were like, yeah, I know you.
Yeah, what's up, man? We know who you are.
Like, and I was like, oh, sick. Oh, great. So that's been a huge help. And, you know, a lot of friends across the country that we're so excited to see. Obviously, so happy to be playing in front of new people, meeting new bands, making new friends. And, you know, it's always going to be a lot of work. But at the same time, that's why we do this.
That's awesome. Any places in particular in the States you're really looking forward to playing? Obviously all of them, but so like one or two in particular that really stand out as places you're excited to play?
Seattle for me is a huge one.
Yeah.
Living on the West Coast in the early days, Eric and I used to travel down to Seattle to see the bands that wouldn't come to Canada. So, you know, like we would like go to Seattle and we saw like Taking Back Sunday and Thursday play together. And like we're going down, we're playing a venue around the corner from that venue this time around. And so it's just that feeling of like being part of the history of it all is super exciting for us. So I'm stoked for Seattle, most definitely. I think we're hitting Chicago as well, which is going to be really, really cool because I'm a huge fan of Chicago as a city. But honestly, just happy to get, I'm happy to hit every town. I'm so stoked. Even like, man, get back to Winnipeg. I got friends in Winnipeg that I'm so excited to see. I've been to Thunder Bay in years, and we got mates out there too. Like, it's just, I'm just excited to be in the van with the guys and just really get back to that, like that tour life, man. It's a whole different world. And until you've done it, you don't know it. And once you do know it, it's hard to go back. So I'm excited again.
That's awesome, dude. I can tell how excited you are. It's so, That's one reason why I love doing this podcast, is when I can talk with people like yourself who are so honest and open and just are excited about things. Like, not that I talk with people who aren't, obviously. Like, you know, that's as a rule of thumb. It's like, yeah, you know, do you want to talk about this? I guess. It's like, oh, yeah, shit, okay.
Don't be lackluster. Come on.
Yeah, no, it's a bit like that. But I'm so excited for you guys to get on this tour and get things going. What's next for the band aside from this tour? Like, I know that you mentioned a little bit about you guys maybe have something coming up the next couple of months for music.
How's that going to be? We do. Yeah, that's definitely the next big step for us. We're getting some new music out again, which we're so excited about. We're putting the final touches on some music right now with our producer, Kyle Marchant. And they're coming together. We're so happy with the new music, the new direction. As you were saying earlier, it's very much about kind of honing our sound. And, you know, these new songs are just the next iteration of that. We're hoping to have a new single out in April, if everything goes to plan.
I'll have that. It'll be like out in March, April. Or in May. Like, it'll be like, we're going to have a new single out in May. Like, I'll just update it. It's fine.
I'm really thinking, no, it'll be April. We'll be out awesome. In April. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It should be good to go in April, guaranteed. Yeah. Which awesome, we're so stoked on. You know, it's been a minute. Faithless was a little while ago now. So we're so excited to release something new. Can't say enough good things about the new music. So high energy, just fun, big choruses, just, you know, get people to pick up their feet and have a good time, you know?
That's what it's all about, man. Don't bore us. Get to the chorus. That's
You get it. And then, you know, and then it's just like, you know, more tours, more shows, obviously, you know, so excited for the summer. We're not going to slow down. We're just going to speed up. And, you know, we're just, you know, we're changing into the next gear for conversation. So, you know, everyone keep your eyes out. There's a lot more coming for us boys.
That's what I like to hear, man. I appreciate your time. As we get ready to sign off here today, there's kind of a staple question I always ask people when they come on the show for the first time. I want to hear now that story of you playing the show and getting punched in the face while sitting with arms wide open might be one of the best stories I've ever heard on this show, to be honest with you. That's just the best. But do you have a story or just even a quick little tidbit about your favorite show or best show that you've ever played, or the worst show you've ever played to the point where it was like kind of comical?
Oh, okay. So it's funny because a lot of people have definitely asked me, like, what's the best show you've ever played? And I don't like to talk about the worst shows because the worst show is like, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like you're bad mouthing venues and stuff like that.
I get it. Yeah.
You know, it's not their fault kind of thing. Sometimes it's their fault, but we don't need to talk about that. I'm a positive guy. Let's talk about
it.
Of course.
Yeah, I get it.
So I have two different types of my favorite show. So favorite show, big show. We opened for Bullet for My Valentine.
Nice.
Which again was one of those times when I thought I was getting scammed, when I had a cold contact reach out and be like, do you want to open Bullet for My Valentine? I was like, okay, mate.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. It turns out they were serious. And we opened for Bullet at the Phoenix Concert Hall in Toronto, which is, I think it's 1,400 cap. And we were the opening band, and we'd never played a show that big. That's the biggest show. It was sold out wall to wall. And I just remember walking out on stage, and usually we can walk out on stage and you get to kind of plug in and get set up. The moment we walked down stage, crowd went ballistic. We were like, oh shit. Started playing. Oh, gotta play. So we played immediately. And at that time we were playing Cheekbiter as our closer, which is a real banger for us. And at that time in our set, what we would do is we'd have this whole build up, this ramp up, where I would give this whole speech about people like being in the moment and really like absorbing what was happening in front of them instead of being on their phones and recording. And I'd get more ramped up and more ramped up. And then at the very end of it, we would stop, dead stop, silence. And I remember standing there in front of 1,500 people in absolute silence, and the crowd was silent and just giving it a good 20 seconds of just nothingness. Wow. And being like, okay, And then I said, this is our last song. It's called Cheek Biter. And we went, oh, God, God. And then we popped into the song. And I was like, that's a cool moment.
That's awesome.
So that was a huge one for me. And in the way of small shows where I'm just so thankful for my friends and who I love to be there with, we played the Bovine Sex Club, me and Tio, not too long ago when our previous drummer, Yoda, left the band. It was his last show with us. He was a huge part of the band for a long time. We still love him. Obviously, we love Andrew, who's our new drummer, because he is the absolute fucking hits. And I can't say enough great things about him. But saying goodbye to Yoda was very hard. And he decided that to end the set, he wanted to crowd surf. So he ended our last song and then put his sticks down and jumped over a drum kit and crowd surfed. And I ran back and jumped on the drum kit and banged out the end of the song. Well, so I got to watch while Yoda crowd surfed, while I played drums. And that was his last time playing with our band. And that was an absolutely beautiful moment. And, you know, it's just those little moments you have along the way where you're just like so grateful for your friends and your band and your people. And, you know, it's the reason we do this every day.
What a send off. That's what a way to kind of close that chapter, so to speak. Just
you know, sir.
The drums, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely, sir. All right, Timothy, man. Well, thank you so much for the time, being so candid. It's been a pleasure getting to chat with you. We'll have to link up once some new stuff's coming out. Would love to
have you on
for a showcase episode or something like that in the future.
Hey, it'd be a lot of fun. I would love it, dude. It's an absolute pleasure meeting you. You are a true gem.
I appreciate that, man. Same to you. And keep that hair looking tough, man.
I will do so. All right, man. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, man. You too.
All right. Bye.
All right, folks. There you have it. My chat with Timothy John Bolton from Conversation. Really great episode. Very much enjoyed doing that with him. And be sure to go check out Conversation. As I mentioned in the intro and as he talked about, they are embarking on a tour starting on April 11th in Barrie, and they're going all over North America, including the states, and not just the dates I mentioned, by the way, in the intro. That was just a couple I was kind of picking out. They're going all over the place. So if you are listening to this and you are in the states, see if they're playing somewhere near you and go check them out. They're incredible. They're really, really fantastic live band. I can't say enough great things about their performance, and not just like the theatricalness of it and them, you know, dancing around and Eric throwing his bass around and Timothy, you know, whipping his microphone around and stuff like that. Like my first kind of joking question I asked him at the start of the episode, they sound fantastic. They're super tight. Timothy is a fucking incredible vocalist. Like just awesome range, killer screams and cleans. Just they are very much worth your time. They will thoroughly entertain you, and I'm sure they're going to have a widely successful time on tour. And best of luck to all the guys on tour. Be safe and everything. Have a great time. Thank you very much. If you're listening to this, if you are a fan of the band and you've never heard The Hotter Show, welcome. A lot of great stuff to check out in the archives of The Hotter Show. If you are a fan of Conversation, you'll probably enjoy some of the other bands that I've had on in the past. Recently, I have had a chat with Ev Gallows from Judgment, who, if you like Conversation, you'll probably like Judgment, as well as the boys in Seagrave I've had on a bunch, which we mentioned them in the episode. So a lot of great bands to go check out that I have had on. And there will be some more great stuff coming up here on The Hotter Show, because I have some things in the works for my next couple of batch of interviews, actually, that are all going to be based around one band. And I'm very, very excited about it, because this band has made a resurgence kind of almost out of nowhere. I had no idea it was happening. And they popped up. They just dropped an EP. It's freaking incredible. I don't want to go too far and spoil things, but let's just say y'all should be very afraid. And check out the EP by Afraid. It's really good. So stay tuned for that. I appreciate all of the support. If you would like to support The Hotter Show a little more, be sure to leave a rating Those always help the show grow. Be sure to follow us on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram. I do have a Discord server as well. If you would like to join the Discord server, I have a lot of fun over there. And if you would like to go even further in supporting The Harder Show, consider joining The Harder Show Patreon. I'm currently in a little bit of a restructure right now with The Harder Show Patreon. With Tapes of Trepidation now being a public podcast, it was formerly only available on The Harder Show Patreon. I'm doing some reformatting. Not sure what is going to come of The Harder Show Patreon, but pretty much everyone there at this point is just supporting because they want to support the show and see the show grow, which, make no mistake, the Patreon support helps so very much in going to cover the production costs of the show and helping the show grow with getting better equipment. Thank God for Patreon, because as I mentioned, my interface died. The interface I'm currently using, I would not have if it was not for the Patreon people. So I don't know if this episode would be out right now if it wasn't for Patreon. So it truly makes such a huge difference. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show and you will get a shout out on every single episode of the podcast that I'm going to do momentarily. We do also have the $5 tier and the $10 tier. I'm going to be doing some cool stuff coming up in the next couple of months for those higher tiers. But for now, you guys, of course, will get my absolute eternal gratitude and a shout out on every single episode of The Harder Show, just like my current patrons, my Hardheads. We, of course, have Ronan Komori, Wolf Delta Pi, CM Peters, Jason Reese from Jaybird Digital Arts, Terry and Janet Hodder, Brandon Bowden from Bowden Voice, Neil Skarupa from Neurotic Voice, and Mr. Ian Hall. Thank you guys so much for the support. It truly means the world to me, especially that you guys are still supporting the Patreon for The Harder Show with Tapes of Trepidation becoming public. I'm going to be doing my damnedest to get something going for you guys in the form of extra content. Not sure what that is yet. I'm going to be workshopping some things. I'm going to be in contact with each of you individually to see what kind of things you would maybe like to hear from The Harder Show's Patreon, because I always want to do something for you guys, because I just, I want to show how much I appreciate the support. With that, I'm ready to sign off here today. Thank you guys so very much for tuning in. Check out Conversation. They are badass. Stay tuned to their spring tour coming up April 11th. Support them. They're amazing. To all my wrestling fans, enjoy WrestleMania this weekend. I know I will be. And then stay tuned, folks. Got some cool stuff coming here on The Harder Show. Take it easy, guys.